right, it's Nagler's Never Right, episode 7. I thought for sure I'd have quit this by episode 4 or 5, but here we are, 7 episodes in, still going strong. And today, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, we have a treat for you. Mr. Jim Miller from Sirius XM NFL Radio. This guy talks about football for a living. Not like me with my stupid little podcast. This guy is a pro. Can't wait to talk to him. Let's not delay. Right here on Nagler's Never Right. All right, we're live on the line with Jim Miller. You may know him best for his work with Sirius XM NFL Radio. Some of you may remember him as the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears, but we will not hold that against him. Jim, how the hell are you today?
I'm doing great, Aaron. Good to be with you.
All right, I obviously wanted to have you on because of Deflategate. It's all anybody's talking about. It's all I'm going to be talking about today. I did want to get your perspective as a former NFL quarterback, someone who does cover the league every single day. I know you've had some pretty strong feelings about this. You haven't been shy about it on your radio show. Give me a 30,000-foot view of how badly you think the NFL screwed this up.
Well, I do. I do think the league office, it's a sad day for the NFL, because I just think this was a situation that was totally avoidable by the National Football League. You know, people forget, officials are on the field to control the game and enforce the rules of the game. And Park Avenue in New York, you know, that's basically their responsibility too, whether it's infractions on the salary cap, whether it's discipline of conduct detrimental to the league by the players outside of the football line, and also it goes for the rules of the game. You know, so if Park Avenue, what all reports indicate, that they got a call from Ryan Grigson, the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, that's within the NFL's parameter right there to step in and defuse the situation and control it. At that point, they should have reached out to the New England Patriots, said, hey, we're getting calls accusing you of deflating footballs. We're going to measure the footballs for the AFC Championship game, and they all better be 12.5 PSI. And then once the New England Patriots ball boy and Tom Brady hand those footballs over, the NFL officials who are officiating the AFC Championship game, that's it. It would have ended this whole debacle of going and paying a lot of money for the Ted Wells report. And, you know, I just think ultimately that's what it is, a waste of time, energy, and money in something that could have been completely avoided with a warning that the NFL has issued in the past to other teams.
I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly where I wanted to go. It's interesting. You look back at the history here, and we all know at this point, Roger Goodell's entire tenure is littered with inconsistencies when it comes to judgments and punishments. And I find another one here when you are alluding to there, the fact that Sean Payton was brought up to 345 Park Avenue back in 2010 before Bountygate went down, and he was told in no uncertain terms to knock it off. He got a warning. And it would appear that the league office kind of took light of the fact that the Patriots obviously had been embroiled in Spygate earlier and passed on the act of giving them a warning. Like you say, it seems inconsistent.
Well, you know, and I think it backs up Don Yee, who's a representative for Tom Brady, the quarterback of the New England Patriots. He equated to a sting operation. And you're right, there is past history where Roger Goodell has reached out to teams. Hey, he warns them and says, hey, if the activity does not cease, then he's going to step in and do something about it. And the New Orleans Saints Bountygate situation is the exact point that you're making. And so I think in this situation, other discretions could have been utilized by the National Football League. Instead, we go and hire Ted Wells, who does an incomplete 243-page report that even admits by the NFL's ruling yesterday by Troy Vincent, one of the representatives and rulers by Roger Goodell, it even points out the inconsistencies. They readily admit they have found no knowledge of tampering. They didn't get to the bottom of that. Really what they ruled on yesterday was the Patriots' past history and what they deem are uncooperative employees of the New England Patriots, when we already know on record that Jim McNally, one of the ball boys for the New England Patriots, he was offered up four times for to be questioned. I mean, just because the Patriots wouldn't offer him up for a fifth time on basically five separate days, you know, you tend to say, what is reasonable here? And I think the Patriots got to the point where this is getting unreasonable in terms of this investigation. And that's ultimately why I just think you see both sides digging in after the ruling by the NFL yesterday.
Now, for the listeners who may not know or may not remember, you were in that building back in 2004 in the quarterback room with Tom Brady and Rohan Davey.
Yep.
You know, obviously, and I know you've had a couple old Patriots on your radio show the last couple days. I got to imagine you still know people in that building. What's the feeling coming out of New England right now? Obviously, it's pretty defiant publicly, but what's it? What are you hearing internally?
Well, you know, I think, you know, like anything else, I equate it to poking a sleeping bear. Everybody knows when you poke a sleeping bear, it's not going to end well. And I think the history has already shown us that the New England Patriots, when they were accused of Spygate, they came back and were undefeated the next year. They're fierce competitors. They're going to prepare themselves accordingly and try to go out and remove all doubt again. You know, it's just unfortunate, in my opinion, that I do believe that there are good people in that building that conduct themselves the right way, try to do things the right way. But, you know, do they want to win? Of course they want to win. The whole National Football League wants to win. You know, I've classified this Deflategate issue. I put it in the category of gamesmanship. Right. You know, there's a lot of gamesmanship that goes around in the National Football League, and every team is complaining about one another to gain a competitive advantage.
Speaking of which, I mean, back in when you were playing, say when you were with the Bears, were the rules governing footballs on game day, were they different then? Because that seems like a new phenomenon.
Well, normally now it's the quarterbacks get to prepare their own football. So, like for home games, I get to prepare mine. But I'll give you an example of gamesmanship. Say I went up to Green Bay and I played Brett Favre in the Green Bay Packers, Chicago Bears versus Green Bay. It just ironically would always happen that I would get a fresh football out of the bag, but yet Brett Favre, when the offense was out there for the Green Bay Packers, he would get a used football because the home team prepared the football.
Right.
So, you know, that's a part of gamesmanship. At the end of the day, there's no sense in me complaining about it. You got to go out and play the game. You got to win, and you just got to go out and overcome it. So, you know, you make the point to the official, and you hope the next time he puts in a more beat-up football that the home team was utilizing on that particular day.
Do you think, because it's the Patriots and they have their past with Spygate, and because it's Tom Brady, the golden boy, particularly after his comment after the Ravens game at the podium where he said they need to learn the rules, when obviously a lot of the talk was about the eligible and ineligible receivers that the Patriots used in that game, do you think any of that played into this? I mean, you mentioned on Twitter the other day about the Falcons and the Browns and the fact that their cheating scandals, so to speak, have come and gone with very little fanfare. And yet the Patriots, because of their history and because of their kind of celebrity, this has been blown up into what it is now. Do you think that plays into it?
Yeah, because I think it's the history of the team. You know, in terms of the Browns and the Atlanta Falcons, you know, nobody's going to classify them as perennial winners. You know, you're just not, especially with the Cleveland Browns history. But yet, we didn't see any public investigative reports distributed from Park Avenue in the NFL because nobody cared. Nobody cared, you know. So
right.
I just think it's heightened because of who it is. It's the New England Patriots, the success that they've had. And, you know, I just don't believe that it provided a competitive advantage on that particular day for the New England Patriots. You know, the NFL already authorizes both quarterbacks to prepare their footballs the way they like them in the National Football League. And so what? You know, the officials get to inspect them and secure them before every game. Why
right.
This game they were not done according to that protocol and process, I think brings up another whole other issue for the NFL
to deal with
moving forward.
Speaking of which, were you surprised Walt Anderson isn't mentioned at all in regards to the punishments? I mean, I recognize that it's a separate issue, but as you say, there are inconsistencies there with what is supposed to be done on game day. Walt Anderson has had nary a mention in regards to his improprieties that day, his mistakes, yet we've heard absolutely nothing about it.
Well, again, in terms of the protocols, nothing was documented. how can Ted Wells literally write a report on the scientific process of preparing footballs when he's got no documentation once those footballs were turned over to the NFL before the game even started? There is no recorded history of the PSIs in the football, not to mention the NFL used two different pressure gauges that are going to list different readings in terms of the PSI levels. Then, to add on to that, the head official of the AFC Championship game loses the footballs prior to the game, has no knowledge where they are, and then they don't go back to recheck or specify the specifications to make sure the footballs are legal and legit prior to an AFC Championship game. To me, that does not reflect well on the NFL and protocols and process prior to a big game like that.
I couldn't agree more. Were you surprised how relatively light and almost scot-free Belichick gets off in these the stated punishments?
No, according to the Wells report, and I guess you have to believe what their findings are because that's what the NFL released in their statement yesterday, that they believe in what they felt was an independent investigation in Ted Wells. And Ted found out that Bill Belichick and other Patriots employees were not involved. And they're going to stick with that account of what they consider an independent investigator. So I do believe that personally, and I've said that from the get-go. Bill Belichick could have cared less whether those footballs were pumped up or stuffed, quite frankly. He just didn't want you fumbling. I never heard him once discuss, when I worked there as a New England Patriot, what the PSI levels of the footballs were and how they needed to be prepared on game day. He left it up to the quarterback. You as a quarterback, pick out a football that you like the texture and the feel to play with, and again, once those footballs are handed over to the officials, it's supposed to be out of your hands. It's out of the team's hands, and now the NFL assumes the responsibility for those balls to secure them and inspect them prior to a game.
Ultimately, do you think, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but do you think this is mostly about Tom Brady, quote-unquote, being uncooperative? Because you have to think, the NFL knows that the advantage gained here is minimal from the standpoint of what you're talking about in regards to gripping a football. But the fact that he didn't give up his phone and or allow them to see messages with the deflator and what have you, the two now suspended employees of the Patriots, that's ultimately what this is about, right? I mean, it's about Tom not being cooperative.
Well, that's what the ruling stated and why they came down so hard. They basically came down hard on the Patriots for their history, meaning their past transgressions of Spygate, and then the uncooperative nature of two top ball boys they considered in Tom Brady. Tom Brady's representative has come on and said Tom basically gave him an entire day to answer questions. And Tom felt uncomfortable to release his cell phone to NFL investigators. I personally would feel, I'd have misgivings about doing that. And here's why, because that's personal private information. And quite frankly, apparently Roger Goodell thinks that Park Avenue is the Hoover Dam and there are no leaks. But since this whole story started, there's been nothing but leaks.
Right.
So I don't think Tom Brady feels very, very encouraged that something could come out concerning his personal private information.
Absolutely. I just wish they had maybe the Wells Commission report, whatever you want to call them, or somebody in the NFL had just said, look, Tom, just give us the corresponding texts. The things that you clearly responded to with these guys. And that's it. That's all we need. We'll check that box, and that'll be it. But as far as I can tell, the phone was asked for. So I'm with you. I'm not surprised that he said no in that regard.
And it's unfortunate. And Don Yee even came on the SiriusXM Blitz, and he said, yeah, we'd be willing to sit down with the commissioner and go over this situation again because my feeling, I think my partner Pat Kerwin's feeling, is that this investigation is incomplete. In order to make a ruling on rules of the games, really what has been ruled on yesterday by the NFL wasn't ruled on. It was ruled on past transgressions and uncooperative employees that were already offered up on numerous occasions. So, I'm all around confused. Obviously, there's going to be an appeals process, and it leaves everybody to figure there's probably going to be a team appeal, and there's got to be an appeal by Tom Brady, because by coming down on the team, I'm sure it doesn't sit well with Robert Kraft, who's already somewhat dug his heels into the sand.
He most certainly has. We're talking with Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio. Jim, you're an absolute legend for giving us time today. Just two quick questions here to wrap things up. First of all, getting back onto the football field, ultimately, I think this gets knocked down to two games when all is said and done after appeal. I mean, there's a lot yet to play out, obviously. But let's say it is two games, the end game. He has to miss that opener against the Steelers, and then the next week. This team can win two games with Jimmy Garoppolo, can they not?
Yes, I believe they can. You know, even I know it's a tough schedule when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. But, you know, again, if you look at past history, New England has done that in the past. They won 11 games with Matt Castle, who really hadn't played at all either for the New England Patriots. So, you know, I think history is a little indicator about the New England Patriots, other than transgressions that the NFL wants to slam them down for. You know, they've got a history of winning, whether Tom Brady's in the lineup or whether he's out of the lineup. And so I think, you know, they'll manage it. Again, there's a lot to play out that you mentioned, that you don't know how far
right.
both parties want to push this. And, you know, do they want to take it to the court level? Does Robert Kraft want an independent arbiter in there? I mean, I think this could go in a lot of different directions, but it is nowhere near over.
I agree with that. Unfortunately, I totally agree with that. And finally, you mentioned Robert Kraft. You mentioned him digging in his heels. My colleague at Sports Illustrated, Greg Bedard, has a story in this week's issue about the relationship between Robert Kraft and Roger Goodell. Obviously, the big GQ article came out last year where Robert Kraft was dubbed by one league official, anonymously, of course, as the assistant commissioner. Do you think this is something that, you know, severs that relationship to the point where, as Greg mentions and alludes to, maybe Robert Kraft even starts using his influence to try and oust Roger Goodell?
Well, I think there's going to be a split faction among owners, and certainly Robert Kraft has the power to do that. He's done nothing but back Roger Goodell up to this point when you look at Robert Kraft, say in the code of conduct and how he's handed out punishments from that avenue. I think Robert Kraft has been the first and foremost there to really back up Roger Goodell. But, you know, I'm not going to go into, you know, does he feel betrayed by Roger Goodell? I think at the end of the day, you don't have to like everything about everybody, but you have to be able to work with one another. You know, I think what ultimately needs to happen for all the owners around the league is how do they perceive this punishment on one of their fellow owners? Because ultimately, Roger Goodell works for them. You know, he works for those NFL owners. And if they think that this decision by Roger Goodell went too far, I think they'll find a replacement if they deem it to be a problem in the future.
I couldn't agree more. All right, well, that's Jim Miller, SiriusXM, NFL Radio. He's a legend, former Chicago Bears quarterback, but we like him anyway. Jim, thanks a lot for taking the time, man.
Aaron, you bet. Anytime, bud. Good to be with you.
So there you have it. Former Bear, former Patriot, current NFL radio guru Jim Miller breaking it down for you here on Nagler's Never Right. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast, for continuing to check it out. I can't believe the numbers. Can't believe the feedback I get every week. You guys are awesome. Thanks for checking it out here at CheeseheadTV.com.